No, I wasn't. I wasn't in here. No. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 10 for a change.
I will fell right over there.
Yeah.
The last time we talked about Friday, we talked about woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child and thy princes eat in the morning. We talked about who Israel was and who Judah was and all that. And blessed and companion with that, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of noble. It's in Hebrew, it says son of a noble, and thy princes eat in the due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Now. There are no nobles after the flesh. There are no talented after the flesh. There are no males after the flesh or after the spirit. There are no females. There are no young. There are no old. There are no black or white. There are no Greeks or Jews. There's no Islamic or Christian. There's only either judgments made after the flesh, or we are the son of a noble. We are the king. Our king is a noble. And that distinction, once seen, it'll cause you no longer to give any breath to anything that's based on sensory perception. Not nationality, not race, not male, not female, not young, not old, not anything. Is that... And it also then, because the gift of God is eternal life, you will never again give breath to anything that is time dependent. Now, that's revolutionary. That's as revolutionary as what we talked about last night. That you are exactly as you should be. Everything in the universe is exactly as it should be because he is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. Now, the contrast of our king being the son of a noble one, the only one that's noble, the only one that's good is God. Jesus Christ, he berated the guy that called him good. So how can we then feign to call anything good? Now we have to, but this gets to the core. Now all of Ecclesiastes up till this point has been talking mostly about responses and stuff. Now we get to the core of what. Hopefully, we're letting the deep speak to the deep. Because if you can no longer give breath to that which is time-dependent, you no longer give breath to anything that is not of God, the Son of the Noble, then your whole perspective, your whole view of life changes. What?
Well, I'm hearing this through the atomic explosion concept. It's, you know, removing time and that potential is outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, and because it has. What we have to see is that Christ coming into this world set everything else on fire. Now it's a slow fire because of His mercy, and so we think we have time to give importance to all these other things and. To whether or not you understand somebody, or whether or not a meeting is going to happen, or whether or not somebody likes you, or whether or not somebody, all of the infinite number of things.
You said, you hit me between the eyes a minute ago. You said there are none talented. And the reason that hit me is I've been thinking about this TV show and the guys that do the TV show. And my reaction to that was, my God, that's true. And if I were to meet this guy, I would be in awe of him, as opposed to if you met the guy, it'd be like, yeah, so what? And the fact that I would be in awe of somebody because they possess something that I thought was important is just
awful.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, it's in the way. It's bullshit. Not, it's crazy. It makes you of no value.
Listen. If you look at it from one perspective, it means that that's still a childish response. If you look at it from another perspective, it means that the circumcision is not yet complete. Remember, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is the Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh, who no longer need the praise of men. Now, to not need the praise of men is a huge deal. That means there's no difference between a king and a pauper. There's no difference between talent and drudgery or sluggishness, sir. There's no difference between anything, because we are not of this world. We are aliens in this bizarre land where everybody gives importance to all kinds of crap that's meaningless. And the view is either always and ever from the judgment seat or from the mercy seat. We don't have any option. You're not neutral.
I want to respond to what Harry said.
I'll forget this if I don't say it. What is that? In the door comes, I don't want to say George Bush, but George Bush, okay? How is that? What is that manifestation coming through the door? It's not the President of the United States. It's not a thing to be impressed with. It's just a vessel that happens to be being used in a particular way. How do you relate? I guess what I want to ask is you personally, since you understand what I don't understand about this. How do you relate to somebody who comes through the door who is an impressive, important, famous, whatever it is?
You can answer that. You've been around me for 30 years.
What do you see?
I just see another vessel in need. If you've seen me act differently, then you should have called me on it. But I don't think I've ever acted differently than anyone, whoever they were.
I know that. That's what I'm saying. What do you see?
They're just another vessel in need. There's no base. I don't care if they're... and that's not any big... says nothing. There's nothing admirable about that from my perspective. It's because I've seen the emptiness of all. You just don't see anything. You don't see that crap. You don't respond any differently to them than you do to the homeless person.
I'm sorry, Gary.
Well, in light of what Harry just said, and the way you talked last night, we are perfect, however and wherever, whatever state we find ourselves. Harry's exclamation would put him into I'm this lesser being because I don't think the way Ollie does about people when they walk in the room or something. I mean, that's the effect of what you...
Yeah, I know,
said.
And that's what I tried to disabuse him of.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing admirable about it.
So in the fact, you're okay thinking that way, but it's there for a reason because you've spoken it, and it exposes idolatry.
Well, what it does is it causes it's hopefully and prayerfully it's the preaching of the cross, because that then will cause another arena for repentance.
Right. But it's repentance that's true, not repentance, I'm so bad because I think the way I do. It's great that you think the way you do.
Right.
But it's great, as it's expressed, for repentance.
Right. And that's the whole mystery of this apparent, the only thing that can stand the test of time is whether or not is faith. I mean, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
And the only thing that can stand the test of eternity is love. Love is a verb, which means you give breath to the whatever equally. And you don't. I don't know how to. It's gonna get addressed in the next part of this verse. when thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Now, what kind of a statement is that? That's out of the blue. That sounds like something Jesus would say. He asks him a question. He says, "What the hell is that?" But this is the definition. This defines your, again, the reason that people do something other than be as Christ is because of because of people are starving, so they need to eat something, and in that starvation they eat football games or they eat basketball games or they eat. The definition of whether or not you eat it is because what happens in that arena affects how you feel, how you are. So whether it's a movie or a person or a basketball game or anything, it doesn't matter. If the response to it is affects your being.
An expectation of being satisfied with that.
Right.
And then when you're not, the hypocrisy enters in to convince yourself that you are satisfied.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get by this, and it can be apprehended totally about this last one, thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. That's mind-blowing.
Implies discipline.
Huh?
It implies waiting, discipline, not...
Well, no, it didn't apply simply... bottom line, I mean, it implies all those things, but you can't do anything about it except by location of sphere. Right. If you're on the mercy seat, then all this happens. If you're not, then something is going to take place. It's going to cause you to be starving, and you got to eat something, or to be thirsty, and you got to drink something. And what you're going to eat and drink is either the praise of men, or something. Your work, you're going to do the best you can, and you're going to feed off that, and you're going to feed off of it because you're starving, or you're. You're dying of thirst, so you either drink this other thing or eat this other thing because you are starving or dying of thirst. Now, is that communicating to anyone? You understand it at a level that can define how you respond to all of the world on a daily basis? Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Sick or healthy, pain or enjoy, I mean, nothing matters. It doesn't have, it cannot affect you.
I understand it. It goes back, to, for me, it goes back to you mocking me about me saying, oh, I love so-and-so so much, and you saying, you don't love them. They have something that you need or something that you want. That's not love, that's self-gratification. It's the same thing we were talking about a minute ago. Somebody comes through the door, and I decide whether or not they have something that I need or want. And then I react to them based on...
Starvation, or dying of thirst. I mean,
they will feed me.
Right. Not feed you. You will eat them.
If it's drunk, it's for drunkenness.
Right.
Rather than strength. It's not in due season. It's
No, in due season means in set times. In the set times of the Lord. And we've apprehended the set times of the Lord because the set times of the Lord, the only set times of the Lord are the feasts. And there, the purpose of the feast is the apprehension going from non-existence to conception to birth and all the way through until there's only the resurrection. This is why no man can say, except by the Spirit of God, that Jesus is Lord. You can say that till hell freezes over. You will say it. You know, there's millions and millions and millions of people that say, and they sing songs that Jesus is Lord. But they're not saying it, because to say Jesus is Lord means that you, wherever you look, you see only Him, the perfection of His holiness. You see that great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of His holiness, in the mountain of our God. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. You see nothing else. And the only response you can't, God made this, it's the perfect device, because you can't fake it. Doesn't matter what words you speak. Oh, Jesus, I love you. No, you don't. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just giving you all the praise. No, you're not. Because you can be affected the next minute by somebody's response to you. Or whether or not some idiot wins a football game or loses. Or whether or not your kids are behaving right. Ad nauseum. And all of you, because if you see it from God's perspective, all you're doing is eating vomit. You're eating the vomit of your parents and your grandparents and their grandparents and all the way back to Adam. Because you're eating the things that have proven to be, they've already been digested, they're proven to be worthwhile, they've been thrown up, and worthless because they've been thrown up. They didn't stand the test of time. But oh no, I'm happy, or look at here, let's talk about, I'm sorry, I'm not picking on you, Jeff, but let's talk about the Cowboys, or let's talk about the Mavericks, or because that's just the evidence that you're starving, because you have to have that food. But, oh, it can also be, oh, well, let's talk about what we're doing for the Lord. No, you're just eating the garments then. You're not eating Him. This defines, this is why this is at the last part of Ecclesiastes, because this defines your second-by-second life. Oh, you can get so concerned. I know what let's do. Let's get concerned about our elders. Oh, no. You just shows you're starving because you want to eat the elders. Oh, let's get concerned about... I don't care what it is. Now, let's see. We're going to probably spend a day or two on this. Let's go to Isaiah 55.
I'm agreeing so much with what you're saying, but what? How do people live who are talkative and expressive like me?
The only reason you're talkative and expressive is because you want attention. You need attention.
So basically, most all of my talking and expressiveness is a bribe.
It's a bribe, expecting a response. Even such nice things as, that's what our small talk is. And we have social customs that define it. And if you don't respond by those social customs, then you're a son of a bitch. Let's go see that real quick. Go to Matthew 11.
Okay.
Before you go to Isaiah 55. And I promise you, this is when this is why people get mad, will get really mad at you.
I'm mad at you.
Huh? No, I mean, shut up.
They won't get mad at you.
What? What? What'd you try to say there? Verse 7. And as they departed, these were the disciples of John that came to him after John had gotten killed. No, he hadn't gotten killed yet, excuse me. Verse 7, as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? a reed shaken in the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from John, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. Now, he didn't say he's reincarnated Elijah. It was what he had the ministry of Elijah. He had the ministry of the prophet. He that hath the ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? And which generation is he talking about? He's talking about any generation that hears the words, that hasn't seen the mystery of John the Baptist. What shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. You didn't get, and that's, well, and all he's saying is, whatever is going on, you didn't get the response that you thought you should, because the man, John the Baptist, is never going to dance when you pipe, and he's never going to mourn when you lament. Well, we can spend hours on this, but we probably will. Let's go to Isaiah 55 now. Does that answer your question a little bit?
Yes.
That's Isaiah 55. This will just be my time clock keeper is here, so we have to quit it, so I don't use my rollover minutes.
It's because you were late.
What? What? Okay. Ho! Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, the targum of that of Isaiah 55:2 is, Wherefore do you spend money? Because of no bread. And why do you still labor? Because of no satisfying. Now here, the bread that's being spoken of is the bread, the manna from heaven. And there's only one manna from heaven, the same as the manna in the wilderness. And that manna is God, Jesus Christ in the flesh. And of him you eat and are satisfied only. Again, the thing about eating, you eat to sustain, to nourish, and to satisfy. Every time we eat any solid foods that go into us, the only reason that we're eating is so as to bring to remembrance him. Every time we take a breath, the only thing we should think of is his Holy Spirit, who came only to reveal him. Every time there's thirst, every time we take any liquid into our system, it's only to remind us that nothing else can give us any worth, not self-esteem, not anything except him. So in effect, each time that you eat or drink or breathe, it should be a testimony to him and to nothing else. And I promise you that in doing so, repentance will come as natural as breathing. Because you breathe in him, you breathe out you. Every time there's a question of worth, you're dying of thirst. Of self-esteem, you're dying of thirst. Of whether somebody thinks anything about you, you're literally dying of thirst. Every time you need to eat something other than his flesh, it's because you're starving to death. Is that? Well, what will it look like? I don't know. All I can tell you is what it doesn't look like. It's so easy to see. He has no form, no commonness, no beauty that when we see him we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of all men. He will do anything other than eat his flesh. He will go to any extreme other than eat his flesh. You'll go to any extreme other than to drink his blood. It's the absolute last thing that the human condition wants to do. Because the last thing that the human condition wants to do is to repent. Because you want to stay in control. You want to have purpose. You want to have essence. You want to have image. You want to have being. And they're all feeding the instead of Christ. Anybody understand? A little bit? John? Jeff? You don't need anybody's response to you. It's all been a lie. It's all been a game that you don't want to play anymore. Main part of this now when we enter into this home stretch, the main part of it is there can be no such thing as conflict avoidance.
Let's not talk about that.
That's what everyone wants to say, including me.
Don't go in that basement.
You will be shocked to see what percentage of your nervous system and your being is geared toward conflict avoidance. Massive amounts of hypocrisy that has to entail.
I've been keeping this conflict going in my head for the last couple of days. I think that takes a lot of energy too, to just have a private conflict.
No, that's just stupid.
Well, it is very stupid.
Who's winning? Is it Wade or is it Wade? Well, that's the introduction to that. Prince's not eating in the morning and for drunkenness. Miss Sue? Miss Sue is starting to worry because she's starting to understand. She's saying, oh shit.
Help me, I'm melting. I keep stopping.
I'm melting. What's that?
The Wicked Witch of the Lair.
Take a big gun. Anybody have anything to say before you take a big gun?
Or
is it
nice
too late?
I
said it. You have to wait.
Oh, terrible.